We'll put it all together for this week's rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Minnesota studio of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Across North America this time of year, both darkness and winter's presence keep a lot of folks indoors evenings. It's a perfect time for building that first kit. Joe Eisenberg, N0NEB, is both an inveterate kit builder and is the kit builder editor for CQ Magazine. Joe delivered some sound advice to first-time kit builders at the 2014 Dayton Hamvention.
How many of you have never built a kit before? Got a few of you. Very good. There's nothing better than sitting back and building a kit and having fun doing it. And the most fun you have is when you put it together and it works. And I'm going to give you a few hints on how to make sure that they work. First off, I want to talk about a few items that's nice to have on hand. I always have assortments of pre-sorted standardized parts. In fact, my entire July column in CQ is devoted to sorting out and accumulating standardized parts. And the reason we do that is because if there's a modification or a missing standard part for your kit, a lot of times it's easy to pull a 100K resistor out of a drawer than to see if somebody will mail one. It might take too long. So it's always good to have another part. The other thing is, a lot of times there's modifications. It might say, well, if you want the side tone a different pitch, go to a 67K resistor. Well, it may not be supplied, but it's good to have one. And sometimes you'll see online on news groups or so forth on the web that somebody has decided to change a value of a part. So I try to have assortment of standardized parts, common values, resistors, capacitors, diodes, transistors, and ICs. And there's plenty of people out here selling those. 9-volt battery snaps are a must. Plugs and jacks. Any kind of plugs and jacks you might need, your kit may not necessarily come with it, because you might want to pick the size for the kind of mic or key or whatever you use. So make sure you have your plugs and jacks on hand before you build the kit. That way, you're ready to try it when it's done. 12-volt coaxial power plugs and jacks, same thing. Solder wick and your desoldering aids. How many of you don't make mistakes? Not very many. So make sure you have your solder wick ready. An emery board is great. A lot of times you go to trade shows like home shows, boat shows, things like that, and they're giving away these emery boards. My son was asking me, why do you grab those all the time? Well, I use them for filing off the insulation on enameled wire when you're doing toroids. Of course, 9-volt AA and AAA batteries is needed. A variable voltage power supply, especially one that's metered, that tells you your current draw and your voltage, is very helpful. The reason you want to be able to meter your current draw is because if it's drawing too much and things get hot, you're going to know. Frequency counter helps, so you know what frequency your transmitter's on. An oscilloscope. Right now, used scopes are cheaper now in flea markets than they've ever been. You can buy nice Tektronix scopes for about $100, $150 out in the flea market, and actually in pretty good shape. A dummy load. A lot of these QRP transmitters have no SWR protection, so when you first fire it up, it's good to have it into a 50-ohm dummy load that will take the power that comes out. A vacuum desoldering station or tool, that's kind of the dream. I do have a bench type. The HECO 808 looks like a big old soldering gun with a hollow tip. And they have a vacuum, and it sucks the solder right up for you. A general coverage receiver is great to have on hand, great for both entertainment and for testing your kit. And an AM/FM clock radio can serve the purpose too. I'll be listening to the radio, and I'll hear the legal ID of the station. It'll say KTGL, Beatrice Lincoln, 92.9 The Eagle. Oh, cool. I hear a couple of songs, and by the way, I look up, and the clock says 3 o'clock. Hear a couple of songs, and I hear that darn legal ID again. I look up, and it's 4 o'clock. It's easy to kind of lose yourself in your kit, which is fun. Sometimes you need to know what's going on in the outside world, so a local broadcast radio is good. Just please don't put on those AM talk shows, because all they're designed to do is tick you off, and it's hard to concentrate and have fun with your kits if they're telling you that you're the wrong political party. Random wire antenna for testing receivers. Always good to have a wire out the window. A soldering roll holder. Something so you don't have to keep unraveling the roll and have it fall off your table. That's happened to me, and then the cats take it and go from there. So a soldering roll holder, you can make it out of a dowel or a nail and a block of wood. Works real good. And storage to keep your parts secure between sessions. Once again, cats. This is what I use to store most of my kits. It's a Plano 1354 tackle and toolbox. Now, you'll find this in different colors, but it's the same exact thing. It's still a Plano 1354, but it's got another letter after it because sometimes they sell it for jewelry, and those are pink and purple, and they sell them for parts over at Menards and Lowe's, and they're yellow and black. And you can find them in a tackle store, and they're brown and gray. So they come in different colors and in different places, but it's all the same thing, so find the one that's got it on sale. But the Plano 1354 works great in the top. I can put my circuit boards and sometimes my manuals and my cases and things like that. And then each tray has parts for another kit. So if I put a kit aside, it's all sealed up and ready to go.
You're listening to a 2014 Hamvention Talk by prolific kit builder and writer Joe Eisenberg, N0NEB, talking about the basics any kit builder should follow before launching into any kit, regardless of its simplicity. We'll conclude Joe's short presentation in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available on Twitter at hashtag The Rain Report and online at therainreport.com.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
A lot of kits we build from stages, from the power supply onward. That's kind of the best way if the kit's instructions are written in such a way to do that, because you can test the kit each step of the way. If you build the whole thing all at once and something goes wrong, you don't know if it's the power supply, the oscillator, or something. So it's always good to be able to go stage by stage. Smaller numbers of parts are installed at the same time when you do that, and you place the parts for your stages in their own container so that when you run out of parts for that stage, you know you're done, you're ready to test that stage and know if it works or not. Make sure you have the proper test equipment at the end of each stage, a scope, dummy load, meter, voltmeter, quite often just a voltmeter, to check to see if voltages on different pins are correct. With no sequence, if the instructions don't, I start with the resistors first, then the caps, then the diodes and the transistors. That seems to work the best, and the ICs, and then the less common parts, such as chokes and toroids. However, if you're building a kit with toroids, sometimes it's a good idea to do the toroids first, because a lot of people will finish a kit and do everything but wind those darn toroids. So sometimes it's good to make those first, check them with the meter, make sure they're okay. Make sure the leads are tinned and ready to go, so when it comes time to do the toroid in the kit, all you do is stuff it in the board like any other part and solder it. Common mistakes. There are certain RF chokes that look like resistors, so very carefully check the markings and look in the directions, because a lot of times it'll say the chokes are green or something like that. Double check your electrolytic or tantalum capacitors to make sure the right value and the right polarization, because if you get those in backwards, sometimes they go kaboom. Use a magnifier to check your eighth watt resistors especially, and use a meter. If you're still in doubt, use an ohm meter. Watch your diode markings. Make sure the stripe is the right way. You put one diode in wrong, the whole thing may not work. And bend your leads carefully. The small little glass diodes are very easy to break when you bend the leads. So make sure you use a needle nose and hold it straight and then bend the leads. Glass diodes, those tiny RF chokes we were talking about, and some of those real small disc capacitors are really, really vulnerable to that. So we'll kind of summarize the tips. Remove the distractions. Use voicemail, things like that. RTFM, in the IT industry where I work, that stands for Read the Fine Manual. Now, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Read the fine manual. Use a cookie sheet to keep things from getting away from you and to protect your work surface. It's great when you got surface mount parts. If they get away, got that lip around there, keeps them in place. Be sure to have the batteries or power supply that you need, as well as the plugs, jacks, cables, headsets, keys, antenna, dummy load, all that stuff ready to go. Keep those standard spare parts on hand, and keep your soldering iron tip clean. A lot of the cause of problems with connections with kits are caused by using a dirty tip iron. The connection isn't good. You might see it's got solder on there, but it might not making a good connection. Use adequate lighting and magnification. We're all getting older. We need glasses and stuff when we're working on this and magnifying. I use a fluorescent magnifying lamp. Don't use an incandescent one, because when you lift your hand up, you burn it. I used to do that. So the fluorescent or the LED circle light type magnifiers work great. And I always say, take your time and enjoy the fun.
That concludes a short talk by Joe Eisenberg, N0NEB, on the what you, as a kit builder, need before you tackle your next or first building project to help you while away those winter evenings. Joe delivered his presentation at the 2014 Dayton Hamvention. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from The Rain Report, and a warm welcome back to Amateur Radio Newsline. This is Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.